Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Hey, yo! Good morning. It's Saturday here on Boston Sports Originals WEEI. Chris Scheim, Ryan Garvin with you on this wonderful edition of the Producer Show. Ryan, it has been a minute, my friend. How are you?
I'm back.
He's back, baby.
I came back after all. Couldn't remember where we were. Just drove around the block for a while going, I know the building is here somewhere.
Got to be here somewhere.
No, I've been here all week.
Attaboy.
Oh, it's like a crash landing coming back from a week off. Granted, a week off where there's not a lot going on in the sports world, and as we were talking about before we got on the air, it's like we finally got like some fun stuff to look forward to.
Yes.
Such as handball and beach volleyball.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you.
Trying to find an Olympic schedule right
yep,
now.
Yep. Men's beach volleyball, Team USA, is on right now. I can't tell who they're facing. A team in blue. Maybe it's Italy or
the Italian beach volleyball team? The powerhouse Italian beach fun. This is what I'm saying. Like, you say some of these phrases out, it's like, man, like, oh.
They're facing Cuba.
The Puerto Rican national basketball team, like, is a phrase I didn't, like. Like,
wait,
I
they have a national basketball team?
They're in the Olympics. I want to root for these guys.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's a foregone conclusion that the U.S. is going to just dominate everybody in basketball. So I would like to see some of these plucky underdog teams come in there and give them the what for. So yeah,
it's like watching a 16 seed in the NCAA
That's
tournament.
Exactly what it's like.
I on Thursday, I found myself watching women's handball. I know not a single thing about handball, Ryan. I got to tell you, electric sport.
Isn't it like
France versus Hungary?
Yeah.
And so there's similar to hockey, there's a goalie crease. However, differently, it's probably the size of like the 3-point arc in basketball. And so you're not allowed to throw from within the crease. Only the goalie can throw from within the crease.
Oh, they have a goalie.
The goalies, I got to tell you, almost useless. Like it's
really
they in the amount of time I watched, I saw the goalies combined, both goalies make total of 3 saves, and the score was, when I fell asleep for a nap, like 13-12.
So what you're telling me is we have wasted our talents here in radio, and we should be competing for the men's handball team.
100%. These women, they kill each other because, like, you basically play like an offensive line at the crease, mm-hmm. and as they come in trying to throw this like rubber dodgeball, or do you ever remember gym class as a kid? Do you ever have those like styrofoam balls
and
you play like dodgeball with them? Yeah, it's like it looks like that.
Right, you dislocate your shoulder trying to throw one.
Yeah, you're whipping
like 4 miles an hour
trying to throw curveballs and stuff, and these girls are trying to get in there and just take a shot, and the girls at the line are just absolutely bodying them, tackling them. Like, it's wild. Well, it's a lot of fun, though.
I feel like I'd been playing handball wrong my whole life then, because we would just get a tennis ball and a large brick wall, and we had to keep it going, and if you touched it and you didn't get it back to the wall, they get to fire the ball at the back
of your head.
I always thought that was handball.
That was the handball teachers taught us to keep us occupied.
I was training for the wrong sport. Why is that sport not in the Olympics?
I don't know
what we called it. I thought it was handball, but yeah, you'd stand there.
Wall ball.
Something like that. I didn't know there's these great differences.
It's huge differences, Ryan, and it's exhilarating. I love the Olympics. I'm not... So, like, Courtney has been talking about it all week. She had a lead about it this week. I know a couple other people that are just, like, diehards about the Olympics. Mm. I'm not a diehard about it, but I like sitting and watching. It's good background. Like, if I'm doing stuff and then I peek up and I'm like, ooh.
Badminton.
Team USA won their first Olympic gold today. Synchronized swimming, I believe it was. The combination of Cook and Bacon.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Cook and Bacon, baby.
That's deliberate.
That is as USA
there
as it
is
gets.
Someone who's legit right now listening and watching the volleyball, and on the other screen is the men's field hockey.
Yeah, you know what we call them?
Oh, men's field hockey's on right now? Oh, crap. We got to get that on.
You know what
here.
We call them, Joe? We call them Patriots.
You're damn
that's
right.
What they do. You wake up.
Supporting the country.
You turn on this dumb radio show and you watch handball.
It's not even USA playing. It's like the Netherlands.
Good. You want to know who else? Ryan, you want to know who else is a big time Patriot?
Who that?
Masataka Yoshida.
Oh.
Red Sox got a W last night. They beat the Yankees at Fenway Park 9-7. What a back and forth game that was. Aaron Judge, that home run in the seventh inning was stupid. Stupid.
There was, and I doubt so much that anybody can even recall, but there was a game, I want to say it was during the pandemic when there was like cardboard. Remember there were cardboard cutouts
in
the crowd?
Yeah,
it really did feel like, as Mike Leach said, an episode of the Twilight Zone. Rest in peace, Mike Leach. But there was a game during that weird stretch where there was nothing happening but baseball was on. And Marcell Ozuna and the Braves were up here. And Marcell Ozuna had a 3-home run game. And I remember him hitting the back wall, like above the batter's eye.
Yes.
I mean, I think it was either his second or his third tank, and you go, wow, that's just kind of incredible. You don't see anybody hit it up there. But it feels so different when it's a Red Sox-Yankees crowd who were 100%, they were into it. They
yep.
showed up early. Jones and Mengo were down at Fenway before that game. Tons of Red Sox and Yankees fans. And I wasn't watching the game. I was listening to the Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough. And I just had a feeling, based on how things were going, that this was going to happen. Because if you've been watching Aaron Judge literally, at any point of the year,
mm-hmm.
teams are very delicate with him. And I was
yes.
kind of hoping that Zach Kelly would take a soft approach. And
he did not.
He pulled up his stirrups and said, I got this guy.
I'm going to blow it right by him.
And Sean, the sound the ball made, again, listening through the medium of audio, of radio, the sound the ball made, I knew it was going to be something preposterous.
It's that crack of the bat that you hear over the radio call, which is like, ooh, all right, nice hit. But this, it's like glass shattering.
The face Judge with two on and one out, the pitch. Swinging a drive to center field, crush. Forget about this one. Oh, is it nailed?
Joe knew right away, too. Absolutely pummeled into center field, like to the point where he almost cleared the stadium, outright cleared the stadium and straight away center field.
It was, well, it's not just the batter's eye, it's the scoreboard.
Yeah, he like almost hit the scoreboard.
Eye, which, I mean, we're talking like, if that's not there, the chance that continues to carry is so
like they
much
say
higher.
Only 470 feet, but like in a golf swing, right? When you hit a ball mm-hmm. down the fairway and it just keeps running, that's what this would have done.
It
this would have
be been bouncing like on the mass pipe.
This
right
would
now.
Be like 650 feet.
Like guys,
just
like,
absolutely pummeled.
Like Stanton, prime Giancarlo Stanton and not injuredless Stanton could kind of do stuff like that. Shohei had one of those, I want to say, a week ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it ended up in the parking lot in Dodgers Stadium. Yep. And again, the sound that the ball makes, it just, it does not sound. We watch like a lot of baseball, and nothing sounds like that. So the approach of like, well, I'm going to go and get Aaron Judge is crazy. I don't know why you would pitch to this guy. It's like, why do the Red Sox pitch to Rafael Devers? Or as you were saying, why do they pitch to Masataka Yoshida? Man, that game was a lot of fun last night.
Yeah, back and forth game all night. I mean, multiple lead changes in that game. The Red Sox battled back. They were down 7-4 in the seventh inning. You got a two-run homer out of Rafaela, another absolute bomb mm-hmm. from him, and then Abreu doubles to drive in Rob Refsnyder.
Which,
and
by
then,
the way, that was a pinch hit. Alex Cora, fresh off a new contract, takes out maybe the hottest hitter over the last week,
he's not settling.
And goes to Willier Abreu.
Yep, and they get the hit they need, and then Yoshida comes up bottom of the eighth inning, singles, and gets two runs there to get him 9-7,
which was
just
the most predictable thing, because I honestly don't understand what the plan is season, Clay Holmes. Like, if you're a Yankees fan, you're sick to your stomach.
Yeah.
Like, I think that baseball Twitter can kind of ride the roller coaster a little too much for my liking, but I did like a tweet from Jared Kravis last night where he was saying something to the effect of, can we take back the all-star accolade that Clay Holmes has for his seventh blown save? And I think this was the second against the Red Sox. And I know we're going to get into it.
Second against Yoshida.
Trade deadline. It's a second against Yoshida. You're right, Joe.
Well, it's interesting you bring up trade deadline. Yesterday, prior to the game, the Red Sox acquired James Paxton from the Dodgers. Okay, that's what I kind of assumed your reaction would be here. It's like, you see a guy like Randy Arozarena move and head to the Mariners, and it's like, oh, that'd be nice.
Randy Arozarena, by the way, like in the Baltimore game, so they traded for they sent Austin Hayes to Philly, and Christian Pache came back. Christian Pache was pinch running in that game for Baltimore last night against the Padres, I think. Meanwhile, Randy Arozarena was at Tropicana Field in the stands, like, eating popcorn. And I'm like, why are you not, like, now granted, Seattle put up a 10 spot on the Chicago White Sox, who are just free falling right now. Like, do you got to go to work? Like, your team is playing right now. That's your job, right? And he's like, nope, I'm just going to go.
I'm just going to hang out. Don't worry about me.
Taking the ambiance of Tropicana Field. But, yeah, James Paxton, I'm curious what your gut reaction was when you saw the news that Big Maple was going to be coming back after the...
Wait, do we need more left-handed pitching? Like, I guess we could use some, but, like, do we need James Paxton?
He
was on this team, correct me if I'm wrong,
yes,
just last season?
He was.
And you sent him away?
James Paxton. So James Paxton had a nice beginning to the 2023 season for the Red Sox. He was a competent pitcher. He was not losing a lot of games. And going into the trade deadline last year, he was one of the names that people talked about possibly moving on from. But then I think, similar to this year, there was kind of a buy-in from the fan base going, hey, this team might be, you know, interesting to watch. They could be kind of fun and spunky and late September and October, you know, let's keep these guys. So they kept James Paxton, and James Paxton proceeded to just die on the field every single night. I think he ended up with like a 7-something ERA and then ended up getting shut down due to knee inflammation. So I understand your point. Like, do we need a lefty in this rotation? You're very right-hand dominant right now. Every single guy that you're throwing out there to start these games is righty. The only left-handed pitchers you have right now are Cam Boozer and Brandon Bernardino, who I cannot understand what has happened to him. He was dog water last night and has not been sharp his last couple outings. And historically, as a pitcher, I really like. But when it comes to the needs of this team, I can understand the merits, I guess.
This is a guy right now, this season, 4.43 ERA.
Yep.
He's had 18 starts, which is one shy of what he had in all of last year already.
Right.
Has 89 innings pitched, has walked 48 batters, which, by the way, leads the league.
You know what
in
else
walks
leads the league? James Paxton gets almost 7 runs per game of support. That is number
yes,
one.
That's why he's 8-2
because
he played for the Dodgers.
He's got Shohei and freaking Freddie Freeman and Teoscar Hernandez and Will Smith and just these monsters in Los Angeles that can sit there and blow open a game in one inning.
And so it's weird to go get a guy like this, especially when it feels like, right, the pitching philosophy right now, a lot of the time for the Red Sox, is attack the strike zone. You've seen it. You've heard Alex say it to some of the pitchers. You've heard the pitchers talk about it, where they're being too picky with the edges and they're not attacking the strike zone enough. Paxton is not a guy that goes out and attacks the strike zone.
No.
That's not what he does. That's why he leads the league in 48 with 48 walks.
No.
This is not how he operates.
His stuff is... And like I do... when I say I understand the merits of the move, man, this is what I'm saying. Because I don't think it's so much about like, oh, we need to get a fifth guy in here instead of Cooper Criswell, who was your one bright spot on that West Coast debacle. The idea that Tanner Houck has rocketed by his innings pitched, the idea that Cutter Crawford is right around it, and you can see it in Tanner. Tanner Houck is not nearly as sharp as he was at the first like two-thirds of where they are up until now. And I can understand if Alex Cora turns around and says, you know what, this guy is really good. We're going to need him to be good.
So you think this is more of a depth piece than anything else?
Oh, absolutely. I think... The smart thing to do would maybe have Tanner Houck like skip a start. They did it with Brian Baio, but for totally different reasons.
Brian Baio
not good last night either. But I think
just give him a break. Give him a couple weeks off.
Instead of doing the opener thing and like rolling Winkowski out there or Zach Kelly.
Throw out James Paxton to eat up six innings.
That's exactly it. So I think at that point, that's the best thing you can do. It's a move. And I have this really sick feeling that it's going to be around, like, the move.
Well, it also helps out a depleted bullpen that doesn't have maybe two of their top three relievers in Slayton and Martin.
Right. And Martin, I wouldn't, like, cross my fingers on. He's been good when he's been healthy, but he's like, 38, 39 years old and is coming back from, you know, elbow issues and stuff like that. And I like Justin Slayton. I like Zach Kelly. I think when Zach Kelly's on, he's one of the better relievers in baseball. So for him to go out there and be like, yeah, let me put my hat on backwards and throw a strike down and into one of the gnarliest hitters in baseball made no sense to me. It was just like
that Sunday night a couple of months ago got into his head.
He absolutely lost his mind. So I think if you can help this bullpen out with James Paxton and just not decimate them, because they already used a bunch of guys last night, and I feel like that's what it's going to be going forward based on where guys like Houck and Crawford are. But yeah, we've been throwing this question around all week, and Alex Cora was talking about it last night, Sean, where like, he can tell that people are buying into this team. And the more I hear that, the worse I feel. Because you want people to be excited about this baseball team. But think about how fun it was in 2021. They needed help. They needed help in 2021. You needed a first baseman. You needed starting pitching. You went out and got Kyle Schwarber, who does not play first base, and got two scrubs in Hansel Robles and Austin Davis. And I just feel like Hansel it's going Robles. To be more of the same. Like...
We will get to Ryan's sick thoughts. Feeling here. 617-779-7937 here on the producer show with Shime and Garvin this morning.
And volleyball's on.
Yes, volleyball is on. We will continue talking about Ryan's sick feeling about the Red Sox. We'll also mix in a little bit of Patriots training camp coming up here. We'll also hear from Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show about the upcoming trade deadline next here on the producer show. But right now, Joe Braverman's going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Story of the night is the Boston Red Sox. They rallied for a series opening win over the Yankees at home, 9-7, your final score. They were trailing 7-4, entering the seventh. Sedan Rafaela cut that lead to 1 with a 2-run shot in the seventh. Then in the eighth, Willie Abreu tied the game with a pinch hit double, followed by Masataka Yoshida with the go-ahead 2-run single. The Sox are now 5-2 on the year against the Yankees. They'll look to continue their winning ways against the Bronx Bombers in the second of three. Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming have the call from Fenway tonight at 7:15 on the Shaw's Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Cutter Crawford will get the start for the Sox opposite Marcus Stroman for the Yankees. Joe while we get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:15. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. We talked about it, but earlier yesterday, the Sox acquired starter James Paxton from the LA Dodgers for minor league infielder Moises Bolivar. The lefty went 7-5 with a 4.50 ERA in 19 starts for Boston last season. He is currently 8-2 with a 4.43 ERA in 18 starts for LA. Some other trades going down in baseball. The Orioles acquired starter Zach Eflin from the Rays, and the Mariners traded for Blue Jays reliever Yimi Garcia. Patriots' first week of training camp continues today. There is no practice that is open to the public. Meanwhile, the NFL, two quarterbacks just got paid. The Packers and Jordan Love agreed to a record-tying four-year, $220 million contract extension, and the Dolphins gave out their largest contract in franchise history to Tua Tagovailoa, a four-year, $212.4 million extension, and the Revolution play their first game of the League's Cup group stage against Mazatlan FC from Gillette Stadium tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think our play over the last 2 to 3 months, and and we can obviously point to a tough road trip coming out of the All-Star break, but I think Alex said it really well in saying that, you know, that didn't represent who we are as a team. I think you can get yourself in a tough place when you're living and dying day to day. I think instead, you know, we see the total body of work. We see the momentum that we had built heading into the All-Star break. We can look at the guys that we expect to get back here in the near future and say, you know, we should be looking at ways to improve the team. And so that's how we're going to spend the next few days here.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
That was Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show Thursday morning. Front office report every Thursday on the Greg Hill Show at about 9 a.m. every single week. Craig Breslow, Sam Kennedy come through. And so Craig Breslow indicating that the Red Sox, not necessarily satisfied, want to go make some moves at the deadline here. They grabbed James Paxton yesterday, so I guess step in the correct direction. Ryan, you said you still have an icky feeling when it comes to the deadline for the Boston Red Sox. Why is that?
Because I feel like everything that's happening right now with this team has been fun. And I agree with Craig Breslow when he says to you guys on the Greg Hill Show that you can't really like live and die day by day. Especially in baseball, it's exhausting. Like, that's why it was kind of interesting to see where people were after this West Coast trip. Like, they struggled. They were in a position to win all those games except for the finale in Colorado. They had no chance of winning that game. So it felt like, maybe they're not as good as where they are. Here's a simple litmus test, Red Sox fans, that you can follow to know if this team is worth watching or not. Is Bobby Dalbec on the 26-man roster? If yes, then you probably don't need to see anything, because that is a sign that they are not actively trying to help this team. Bobby Dalbec's a nice guy, but my God, he's got no business being on this team. And that's where you were in like April and May and the early parts of June. It wasn't until that Phillies-Yankees series where it started to feel like, oh, this team is beating good teams, and they're finding different ways to do it. I think that this team, as it was constructed, was not designed to be a competitive team. But because Alex Cora is one of the best managers in baseball, that's without debate. Look at what he's getting out of this group. The plan needed to shift. And I think all along, Craig Breslow came in with the intention of fixing this team up, being able to help the team now, but also make the team better in the future, as opposed to Chaim Bloom, who had this paralysis by analysis kind of thing, kind of had a reputation with the other general managers in baseball of being difficult to work with. And they ended up staying pat year after year after year. And I think in large part that is due to this ownership group not wanting to have an inflated payroll, because this is just the ends to a mean, and that mean is having a flush investment portfolio where they can go and invest in golf or racing or soccer or anything else. So one of the great ways you can invest in this team, Shime, is to go out and get one of these high-end players as a starting pitcher who costs money, or a power bat who costs money. And I don't think that is where John Henry wants to take these things. I think it's really refreshing that Craig Breslow is saying, I want to invest in this team, and we need to stop making stupid analogies and make up our mind. But then when Sam Kennedy comes out and says, oh, that's all well and good and everything, but you know, we don't want to set expectations too high because we don't know what the market is going to feel. I'm like, that's it right there. Sam Kennedy, who is a master of saying the quiet stuff out loud. The stuff that we all kind of think, but we're like, he's not actually going to say it, is it? And it wasn't even a day after the fact where Sam Kennedy's like, no, everybody bring it back down. You guys are getting too excited. No. You're going to be way up past your bedtime. No. I can't have you guys having fun like this. Just temper your expectations. And again, I just think back to 2021 where you're like, wow, this team could do something. I'm not asking you, as John Henry said to the Financial Times, to build a World Series every year, but you have the ability to be competitive
and be a competitive playoff team, right? Not just competitive, but a competitive playoff team. And it also just begs the question, like, it felt like all season Alex Cora wasn't going to sign this contract. He wasn't going to sign his contract just because like he was unsure about the future and the direction of this organization. And so it felt like when he signed the contract, there was some kind of reassurance, and yet here we stand. You still have your icky feelings. Sam Kennedy's really still kind of shooting things down. Was there any really assurance? Was it just that $7 million a year was Alex Cora's number? Like, he said specifically when Jones asked him, he's like, hey, everybody has a number. If the Red Sox come to you with your number, what are you doing? And he's like, yeah, we're not talking about my contract or the season. And yet they just signed a contract in the middle of the season. So, like, I'm getting mixed signals. You're dating a girl and she is sending mixed signals,
which is something that I thought they were trying to end, is when Craig Breslow talked to the Boston Globe and Alex Speer and was like, I'm not going to do stupid analogies. We're not going to talk about lane picking or any of that crap anymore.
And no, now he has a thought partner.
But you're still getting mixed messages. Like, the easy thing to do would to be not to, like, I don't want to say I was surprised, because again, I am on the side of skepticism, Shime. I am on the side of, the burden of proof is on the Boston Red Sox to prove me wrong, not for 100%. Me to blindly fall in and go, well, they're playing fun baseball right now and they're banging it
they're
out
in a civil trial.
Red Sox and all that stuff. The burden of proof is on the Boston Red Sox to deviate from what they've been doing for the last five trade deadlines, basically.
Every trade deadline post Dombrowski?
2018, when they brought in Nathan Eovaldi and Steve Pearson. Those were moves that ended up working. Granted, that team was
a wagon.
Yeah, that team was a little different. Probably going to win. But
then you came in and you shipped out Mookie Betts and you shipped out Xander Bogaerts and you allowed Nathan Eovaldi to leave and you allowed Kyle Schwarber to leave after acquiring him. And, like, all of these guys have just left and you've paid nobody. And that's kind of why you have such a young roster. And you're right. Alex Cora has gotten more out of them than anybody. It was the right decision to extend Alex Cora. And as a fan, I'm excited that he's going to be here for the next 3 years. However, again, I feel like I'm getting mixed signals. Cora clearly was unsure about the direction of the team. That's why he hadn't signed his contract yet. Said he wasn't going to do it midseason, and then all of a sudden does it midseason. All right, does that mean we're going to do something at the deadline? Because if so, James Paxton ain't it. Like, that's if you're really convinced, like, that they're going to do anything at the deadline, and that's why Alex Cora signed his contract, something much bigger has to be down the pipeline, right? Can you imagine anything bigger coming? I know Sam Kennedy then, you know, tamped down expectations almost immediately, but just assuming off the basis that Alex Cora was given assurances and that's why he signed his contract, there has to be something bigger coming down the pipe.
What defines bigger, though, Shime? Like another move or a bigger name getting traded in?
Either a couple of moves with lower level players or a big name. It has to be like one or the other, right? Like, it can't be.
Paxton can't be your only.
James
move.
Paxton is not an ad. That's
a
just
move.
Like
it can't
it's
be
just like
a move.
It's like bringing up a starting pitcher from the minors. Like, it's just a guy who's going to come in
you
and
don't
eat
have
innings
any,
for death.
You don't even have any of those.
Sure, and that's probably why you got Paxton. But, like, there has to be more than that.
So,
Paxton was a necessity. You need to add things that aren't necessarily necessities.
Well, that's the word. Necessities are the issues that this team has had for a couple of years now. The struggles that they've had against left-handed pitching,
you have to go get a right-handed
bat.
From
year to year, it hasn't been, like, this team has been left-hand dominant for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
I mean, if Casas was healthy, like, your best hitters in Devers and Jaron Duran and on paper Masataka Yoshida and Tristan Casas are all left-handed hitters. Like,
yep.
This is something they tried to fix it with Adam Duvall last year, who I liked, but they weren't ever going to bring him back because, again, they just don't seem to believe in paying for these guys. And I like Tyler O'Neill, and I would like Tyler O'Neill to be a part of a winning team going forward. Because I think when he's right, he is a really good hitter that plays far above average outfield defense. So the problems that you've had, you've needed to address for a while. You've needed, like, Garrett Whitlock was never coming back. And that's the thing I keep shaking my head on. Like, Garrett Whitlock was never coming back. They knew Garrett Whitlock was done in, like, freaking May. You knew you were going to need pitching, and we saw it last year. We saw this bullpen just.
I think Craig Breslow even said months ago, I don't know that I've identified exactly. No, it was Sam Kennedy. I'm sorry. Sam Kennedy on the Greg Hill show said, he's like, yeah, you know, because I'm pretty sure it was Wiggy who asked the question, like, what would you target at the deadline? He goes, yeah, Wiggy, you know, we haven't really identified exactly a position, but if there's one thing I know from the championship runs we've had in the past, you have to have pitching depth. No matter what, like, you have to have strong pitching and pitching depth in order to make it deep in the playoffs, which makes sense, but you need to go then do that. Like, you need to then, if you believe that, utilize that belief and act on it and go and acquire more pitching. Don't just bring in James Paxton to eat some innings. Go get a legitimate legitimate bullpen help. Get a legitimate starter that would slide into the rotation and not just eat innings like James Paxton. Get me something.
I remember going into, so this is probably the last time I was on this show before I was on vacation, and I could really see a deadline where they found a partner for Nick Pivetta and they found a partner for Tyler O'Neill, and they were going to look to move on from some of their free agent
guys.
Kenley
Jansen.
Thank you. That was another one that you're just going. And Kenley Jansen now, especially when you put him up to Clay Holmes every night, looks like one of the best closers in baseball. This shouldn't be difficult. It's the only thing that the Red Sox need to get over is the sticker shock, which,
yeah.
And I've heard like the debate on both sides of, well, if you do it now, you know, the price is going to be higher, or if you wait, like, I'm really kind of surprised. I shouldn't say I'm surprised when it comes to this team, but you would think it would make sense based on the ridiculous struggles that this team. Now, granted, Rafael Devers was hitting last night, but the struggles this team has had this year against left-handed batting, you would think, like, let's go find a right-hand bat for this series. Like, when Randy Arozarena went to the Mariners, I was despondent, because that is absolutely the kind of guy that you would need. First of all, big moments, meme type moments in the WBC, like that guy would be a lot of fun to watch here.
He is only hitting .211 this year, but like still has 15 home runs. He's like contributing.
Like that, to me, I would see him as a long-term guy. Yandy Diaz is another one who plays first, but and this is where I think you can bolster up, because I question if Tristan Casas is going to be healthy.
I have a feeling he's not coming back.
With Casas, it went from I'm taking mental swings. I remember him on Sunday Night Baseball back in May, where he was standing in the bullpen with a water bottle, just kind of taking these little hacks.
Yeah, he was having.
Oh, you should have seen him last night. In the dugout during the game. I was watching the Nesson telecast. Uh-huh. During Devers' at-bats, he was basically simulating, and he was like living and dying with each pitch. Like, he was simulating his at-bats.
This is also a guy who had fun hosting on TikTok during the All-Star game.
This
I think this is my point.
There was a time where he was going to come in here, and I was literally going to teach him how to run the board.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. That was going to happen.
Yeah, didn't Bradford say he wanted to do that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So my point is, Tristan Casas has a lot of free time, because he's dealing, it's not like a broken bone. Like, he's dealing with, baseball's so weird. It's just full of unnatural
injuries.
Like, body movements, yeah, and stuff. So you get hurt in really weird ways. So it went from like, I'm targeting the Miami trip, to late July. Now we're in late July, and it's I've heard September. My point is, he is a great hitter, and I think he is going to be a part of this team
the future,
long term, if he ever decides to sign a contract, which I don't blame him one second for holding out on, by the way. All that being said, he is a source of great power when it comes to hitting. And you've been out there trying to play. Again, is Bobby Dahl back on this team? No. Okay, I'm going to watch now. But like Dom Smith has been serviceable the last couple weeks, but more than not, like, Dom Smith should not be the answer.
No, he's
Romy
an emergency
Gonzalez
fill-in.
Is fitting in really well with this team. I don't want Romy Gonzalez, no offense, to be the answer. Like, to me, a starting pitcher would be great, but I would love a power right bat. I would love a guy.
You heard it here first. Ryan wants Pete Alonso.
And it sounds like the Mets aren't going to trade him. Like, Vlad Guerrero would be intriguing,
oh,
but it
God,
sounds like the Jays don't want to.
That's a dream.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's crazy to dream like this, because other teams are going to go out there and land the Garrett Crochets.
Well, and the Red Sox of old would make this move.
The
Red Sox of old, the Red Sox pre-2018 would go out and they'd be like, yeah, F it, let's go get Pete Alonso. And they're like, let's make a little bit of a run here. Let's make some noise. Because with a guy like that in your lineup, you would be able to.
I would be happy with Yandy Diaz. I would be happy with Andrew Vaughn from the White Sox, who I cannot tell you the last time they have won a baseball game. I think there is something to the idea of getting these guys who are on these absolutely crappy baseball teams right now, like Brent Rooker in Oakland, who, granted, they're hitting everything right now. They've been fun to watch. But Chicago, even Colorado, where they're not playing for anything, and you bring them here, you bring them to Boston, and I know, like, things get romanticized in the city when it comes to sports, but Rob Bradford, we were talking about Bradfo!
Baseball isn't boring. Go
got
check it out.
To Tyler O'Neill, and Tyler O'Neill was, like, whispering because he didn't want anybody to hear him, because Coors put a gag order on talking about the trade deadline.
We play this audio. It's tough audio.
Sorry.
Bradford needs to invest in a new microphone, but go ahead.
He's like, Tyler is like, I want us to buy. Coors walking. Okay, I want us to buy. But he's basically saying, like, I've seen what Fenway is like on TV. And I want to experience that.
I love the playoff atmosphere in Boston. I want to be a part of it.
I want to feel it. Like, this is, those are his words. I swear
yes.
to God.
And he's not the first one to make comments like that.
No, not at all. And I think you can absolutely get guys who have been on teams where they're averaging like 500 fans a game to come in here. And maybe they haven't been playing to their expectations if you're in Chicago or Oakland. And you bring them in here and you show them what a playoff run with the Boston Red Sox could look like.
Well, you know what it can mean, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you look at a guy like Steve Pierce, who was a good ball player, but he was never this, like, he was never a world beater. And then he comes in during the playoffs and mashes. He loved it here. He loved playing with those guys. Again, that team was a wagon.
Right.
But still, he fit in perfectly, and it worked out. Like, it's, you just have to find the right guy. You have to target the right person to bring into this place, and they're going to love it. And they're going to be like, all right, it's time to play ball. And they're going to play above what they've been at or where or their expectations. Like,
right.
It's just you need to find a guy who might overachieve a little bit.
I've never subscribed to the idea that, like, you don't want to waste your time on rentals because they're just rentals. Well,
no, rentals
they're
are worth
it. You know why they're important? Because if you're bringing them in at this time of year, where they get to feel what it was like in 2021, yep. where Alex Cora is raving about the electricity that he's feeling. He said it felt like a museum at the first half of the season, and I don't think he's wrong because I don't think this team was painfully interesting to watch. Now they are, and the fans are invested. The fans are having fun. Last night, a clear example of that. So you bring in rentals, you're going to have to go and get free agents at some point. What better way to convince a guy to sign with this team long term,
then have him play half a season in a playoff run.
Thank you. Then have him come. It's the best advertisement.
100% it is.
The best sales pitch that you could give to any free agent ball player is to bring them in and let them be
play
here
for
August
Alex Cora,
and September,
let
and October.
Let them play in this city. Let them be here for playoff baseball in this city.
Right.
Freaking electric.
And so many guys are going to love it. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in. Shime and Garvin with you this morning on the producer show. We've been talking Red Sox all morning long, but next we're going to get to a little football notes. Two quarterbacks got absolutely massive contracts. Was that good or bad? And your Patriots are in training camp. We'll be back with all that coming up next. This is the WEEI producer show right here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Shime and Garvin with you this morning. Been talking Red Sox just about all day. So let's, for the final segment here, pivot to some football. Because it's all I've been thinking. I've been in full football mode for like a week plus now. Yeah, I don't care.
I
am knee deep in football.
Can we enjoy the summer? I'm not even saying enjoy baseball, but football's got such a fall, autumny feel to it.
No.
You know,
summer.
Leaves changing.
And the smell of pads
hitting. Line up.
Yeah.
The smell of pads hitting.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do they make a smell?
They have a smell, yeah.
They do have a smell.
Yep.
I guess I've
they don't go in pads
that.
Until next week. You're saying you can smell them already?
Yep.
That's where he is.
It. And feel it.
It's unsettling.
I made a bet.
I'd probably recommend a couple of showers then.
I made a bet on a player to win MVP. I bet on Anthony Richardson, 40-1.
Team feet, Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
So we're at that point. It's the idea of, like, I gotta get my MVP.
I am in full storyline mode where I'm just trying to conjure up different storylines for different players this year. Anthony Richardson is just 2019 Lamar Jackson all over again.
Okay. You were probably one of the people on the internet going, oh, look at the Oakland Raiders. They've got a Muppet. Oh, they're just going to piss Patrick Mahomes.
No, actually, that was my lead Friday morning. That was dumb. Oakland Raiders or Las Vegas Raiders are stupid. Don't make puppets of the best quarterback in football who has waxed your ass now for like 8 years. That's stupid. That's dumb.
I mean, in all seriousness, like, you don't need to motivate Patrick Mahomes. I guess it's like whatever they got to do to make themselves.
How many points do you think he scores against Vegas in his first game? Like 45?
It'll be a laugher for sure.
Yeah. Hollywood Brown, 200 yards, maybe.
Although, didn't the Raiders beat him on Christmas?
They did. Yeah. They did beat him this past Christmas. But they get the bump from the head coach firing and stuff like that. A weird game. It happens.
Yeah, and then the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. So
you're
already looking at props. You're already looking at storyline. So I have to imagine the idea that, you know,
We're dropping Schefter bombs and Garofolo and Rapoport tag team in the scoops, and we're getting big news on Tua and big news on Jordan Love.
We got huge news on those two guys yesterday. Two big contracts were given out. Tua Tagovailoa, 4 years, $212.4 million, and Jordan Love, 4 years, $220 million.
Yeah, which was more surprising to you?
More surprising, the Tua Tagovailoa contract. Like, Jordan Love, you watched last year, and you're like, oh, he's really good.
That guy,
I needed one season of Jordan Love, and I was like, wow, this guy can really play football. And I have now seen 4 years or like 3.5 years of Tua Tagovailoa, and I'm like, I still don't know if he has it. Like, I don't – it's one of those things where I don't hate Tua, but, like, I don't know that I'd pay him $53 million a year.
No, there is a bit of a feel-good aspect to it, because there was a time where I legitimately questioned if he should ever be playing football 100%. Again.
And after that hit against Cincinnati.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He had some of the worst concussions you're ever going to see on a football
field.
Without
a doubt.
And to see him now in a position where he can bilk the Miami Dolphins at a $212 million is a feel-good story that I think we can all get behind.
It's more surprising that it's the largest contract the Dolphins have ever given out.
Well, yeah.
It's just – but that's the rate of quarterbacks, right? And I think – and this is, you know, a little segue for you here. Mm-hmm. I think this is why it's so important for the Patriots to maximize the next 4 years of Drake May.
Yeah.
It's just because, like, you see how insane these contracts are. Dak Prescott – is watching these and sitting in the corner like giddy because he is going to make $60 million a year after seeing what Jordan Love just got. And so the prices of quarterbacks just continue to skyrocket. And so it is beyond imperative to build a roster and spend as much money as you can on a roster when you're paying a quarterback on a rookie deal. Like, if your quarterback is good, you should be loading your roster with talent across the board. You can pay freaking everybody. That's exactly what the Texans have started to do. I expect them to continue to do that with the C.J. Stroud rookie contract. That's exactly what the New England Patriots are going to need to do. I'm just not a convinced yet that Robert Kraft is going to do that.
So you talk about how important this stretch is for the Patriots, and this is what I never really understood about, like, the Mac Jones aspect of it.
Well, speaking of Mac Jones, not to cut you off, but did you see his first throw at training camp practice?
I bet it was really good.
It was an interception. Of course. Was great. It made my day. Continue.
Poor kid.
That kid sucks.
So, but you say, like, maximize the talent and, or, you know, basically maximize, like, what you can get out of these 4 years. What I never really understood was, even though I did, like, Mac was always nice to me, and I don't think that things always were on him, although some of it was. When you talk about maximizing the 4 years, I'm interested to gauge where you are on this Jerod Mayo experience, because I think a lot of what fell into, and it wasn't just Mac Jones, I think a lot of what was the downfall of this football team over the last couple of years was how Bill Belichick handled everything going on. And it's just, it might be too early to tell, but I mean, if we're going to talk about football in late July, let's get into it. Like, everything feels very different.
It is extremely different.
With Jerod Mayo just kind of letting things be how they are. Players, and namely, I mean, Matthew Judon and Devon Godchow, who are publicly going through contract hold-ins right now, have been really, really honest about where they are. And Jerod Mayo is entertaining questions. And I know in the past that, you know, Bill would sit there and go, yeah, I'm not going to get into that. We're not even taking attendance. We're just here for the first day. We can be taking attendance, or, like, I don't even know Bill Belichick would talk 3 days at camp, quite frankly, which Jerod Mayo has done. So I'm interested, as we start to get into this time period that you frame as being very important to figure out if you're going to have a quarterback that's worth paying in 4 years, where things stand right now is, like, Jerod Mayo being this kind of people pleaser kind of coach instead of being the hard ass that's making everybody show up early for practice instead of 11 a.m.
Gresh and I have been arguing about this a little bit, and, like, I think you need to start Drake May right away in order to identify what you do have. Like, you need to get him as many starts as physically possible this year. You can't be wasting time with Jacoby Brissett, who is going to get you nowhere. But to his credit, he's right. It feels a little bit like it is definitely different down there, and I have faith that Jerod Mayo will figure it out. But right now, it does feel like there's a little bit of, like, swimming upstream with one arm
type of deal, yeah, like for the coaches.
No,
excuse me. They're trying to figure everything out, and they are just thrown right into the deep end, and they're kind of just trying to figure out how to swim at this point.
It's an interesting way to look at it, and maybe there can be, how do I put it? Maybe they can help each other help each other. Like, you know.
How does they help you?
You don't know what you don't know. Well, Gerard Mayo doesn't know how to be a head coach. He's never done it before. And I can remember sitting here on this show like years ago preaching that like Gerard Mayo is the person that everyone should want to come over and take this team over. Not one of these stodgy old football guys, but a young guy who's got fresh ideas. And you have like a coaching staff who has not performed the duties that they have to perform before on top of. And like, I agree with you. I want to see Drake May as soon as possible.
Those throws I've seen so far to Jalen Polk have been, and the one to Jalen Reagor were, chef's kiss.
Because when you talk about like cultivating this environment to help your team grow, that isn't what happened with Mac Jones or anybody else on this team for that matter. And whether you thought he was good or not, it's irrelevant now. But the one thing you cannot deny is this was not an environment to like foster young talent. It never happens like that. So you got to hope that even though if you start Drake May and things don't look good for, you know, the second or the third time through, that he is going to have a support staff behind him that is going to help him and not make him feel like a piece of crap like they did with Mac Jones.
And that'll chef's do it for kiss. Us. Yes, chef's kiss. Thank you, Greg. That'll do it for us here on the Producer Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. For Shyman, Garvin, we will see you next Saturday. We'll be back right here on WEEI. But coming up next, Andy Hart and Chris Curtis on the Chris Curtis with Sometimes Ken program. Coming up next.
See ya.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Shime and Garvin with you this morning. Been talking Red Sox just about all day. So let's, for the final segment here, pivot to some football. Because that's all I've been thinking. I've been in full football mode for like a week plus now. Yeah, I don't care.
July.
I am knee deep in football.
Can we enjoy the summer? I'm not even saying enjoy baseball, but football's got such a fall, autumny feel to it.
No,
you know,
summer
leaves changing.
And the smell of pads hitting.
Doesn't line up.
Yeah,
the smell of pads hitting.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do they make a smell?
They have a smell. Yeah,
they do have a smell.
Yep.
I guess I've
they
never
don't go in pads
that.
Until next week. You're saying you can smell them already?
Yep.
That's
I
where
can
he
smell
is.
It. Can feel it.
It's unsettling.
I made a bet.
I'd probably recommend a couple of showers then.
I made a bet on a player to win MVP. I bet on Anthony Richardson, 40-1.
Team feet. Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
So we're at that point. It's the idea of like I gotta get my MVP.
I am in full storyline mode where I'm just trying to conjure up different storylines for different players this year. Anthony Richardson is just 2019 Lamar Jackson all over again.
Okay. You were probably one of the people on the internet going, oh, look at the Oakland Raiders. They've got a Muppet. Oh, they're just going to piss Patrick Mahomes.
No, actually, that was my lead Friday morning. That was dumb. Oakland Raiders or Las Vegas Raiders are stupid. Don't make puppets of the best quarterback in football who has waxed your ass now for like 8 years. That's stupid. That's dumb.
I mean, in all seriousness, like, you don't need to motivate Patrick Mahomes. I guess it's like whatever they got to do to make themselves.
How many points do you think he scores against Vegas in his first game? Like 45?
It'll be a laugher for sure.
Yeah. Hollywood Brown, 200 yards, maybe.
Although, didn't the Raiders beat him on Christmas?
They did. Yeah. They did beat him this past Christmas. But they get the bump from the head coach firing and stuff like that. A weird game, it happens.
And then the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. So
you're
already looking at props. You're already looking at storylines. So I have to imagine the idea that, you know, we're dropping Schefter bombs and Garofolo and Rappaport tag team in the scoops, and we're getting big news on Tua and news on Jordan Love.
We got huge news on those two guys yesterday. Two big contracts were given out. Tua Tagovailoa, 4 years, $212.4 million, and Jordan Love, 4 years, $220 million.
Yeah, which was more surprising to you?
More surprising than Tua Tagovailoa contract. Like Jordan Love, you watched last year and you're like, oh, he's really good.
Guy,
I needed one season of Jordan Love and I was like, wow, this guy can really play football. And I have now seen 4 years or like 3.5 years of Tua Tagovailoa and I'm like, I still don't know if he has it. Like, it's one of those things where I don't hate Tua, but like, I don't know that I'd pay him $53 million a year.
No, there is a bit of a feel-good aspect to it because there was a time where I legitimately questioned if he should ever be playing football 100%. Again.
And after that hit against Cincinnati.
Oh my God. Yeah. He had some of the worst concussions you're ever going to see on a football
Without
field.
Without a doubt.
And to see him now in a position where he can bilk the Miami Dolphins out of $212 million is a feel-good story that I think we can all get behind.
It's more surprising that it's the largest contract the Dolphins have ever given out.
Well, yeah.
But that's the rate of quarterbacks, right? And I think, and this is, you know, a little segue for you here. Mm-hmm. I think this is why it's so important for the Patriots to maximize the next 4 years of Drake May.
Yeah.
It's just because, like, you see how insane these contracts are. Dak Prescott is watching these and sitting in the corner like giddy because he is going to make $60 million a year after seeing what Jordan Love just got. And so the prices of quarterbacks just continue to skyrocket. And so it is beyond imperative to build a roster and spend as much money as you can on a roster when you're paying a quarterback on a rookie deal. Like, if your quarterback is good, you should be loading your roster with talent across the board. You can pay freaking everybody. That's exactly what the Texans have started to do. I expect them to continue to do that with the CJ Stroud rookie contract. That's exactly what the New England Patriots are going to need to do. I'm just not a convinced yet that Robert Kraft is going to do that.
So you talk about how important this stretch is for the Patriots. And this is what I never really understood about, like, the Mac Jones aspect of it.
Ooh, speaking of Mac Jones, not to cut you off, but did you see his first throw at training camp practice?
I bet it was really good.
It was an interception. It was great. It made my day. Continue.
Poor kid.
That kid sucks.
So, but you say, like, maximize the talent and, or, you know, basically maximize, like, what you can get out of these 4 years. What I never really understood was, even though I did, like, Mac was always nice to me, and I don't think that things always were on him, although some of it was. When you talk about maximizing the 4 years, I'm interested to gauge where you are on this Gerard Mayo experience, because I think a lot of what fell into, and it wasn't just Mac Jones, I think a lot of what was the downfall of this football team over the last couple of years was how Bill Belichick handled everything going on. And it's just, it might be too early to tell, but I mean, if we're going to talk about football in late July, let's get into it. Like, everything feels very different.
It is extremely different.
With Gerard Mayo just kind of letting things be how they are. Players, and namely, I mean, Matthew Judon and Devon Godchow, who are publicly going through contract hold-ins right now, have been really, really honest about where they are. And Gerard Mayo is entertaining questions. And I know in the past that, you know, Bill would sit there and go, yeah, I'm not going to get into that. We're not even taking attendance. We're just here for the first day. We can be taking attendance, or like, I don't even know Bill Belichick would talk 3 days at camp, quite frankly, which Gerard Mayo has done. So I'm interested, as we start to get into this time period that you frame as being very important to figure out if you're going to have a quarterback that's worth paying in 4 years, where things stand right now is like Gerard Mayo being this kind of people pleaser kind of coach instead of being the hard ass that's making everybody show up early for practice instead of 11 a.m.
Gresh and I have been arguing about this a little bit, and like I think you need to start Drake May right away in order to identify what you do have. Like, you need to get him as many starts as physically possible this year. You can't be wasting time with Jacoby Brissett, who is going to get you nowhere. But to his credit, he's right. It feels a little bit like it is definitely different down there, and I have faith that Gerard Mayo will figure it out. But right now, it does feel like there's a little bit of like swimming upstream with one arm type of deal like for the coaches. They're trying to figure everything out, and they are just thrown right into the deep end, and they're kind of just trying to figure out how to swim at this point.
It's an interesting way to look at it, and maybe there can be how do I put it? Maybe they can help each other help each other. Like, you know.
Help me help you.
You don't know what you don't know. Well, Gerard Mayo doesn't know how to be a head coach. He's never done it before. And I can remember sitting here on this show, like, years ago, preaching that, like, Gerard Mayo is the person that everyone should want to come over and take this team over. Not one of these stodgy old football guys, but a young guy who's got fresh ideas. And you have, like, a coaching staff who has not performed the duties that they have to perform before on top of. And, like, I agree with you. I want to see Drake May as soon as possible.
Those throws I've seen so far to Jalen Polk have been, and the one to Jalen Reagor were, chef's kiss.
Because when you talk about, like, cultivating this environment to help your team grow, that isn't what happened with Mac Jones or anybody else on this team for that matter. And whether you thought he was good or not, it's irrelevant now. But the one thing you cannot deny is this was not an environment to like foster young talent. It never happens like that. So you got to hope that even though if you start Drake May and things don't look good for, you know, the second or the third time through, that he is going to have a support staff behind him that is going to help him and not make him feel like a piece of crap like they did with Mac Jones.
And that'll chef's do it for kiss. Us. Yes, chef's kiss. Thank you, Greg. That'll do it for us here on the Producer Show. Thank you so much for tuning in for Shime and Garvin. We will see you next Saturday. We'll be back right here on WEEI. But coming up next, Andy Hart and Chris Curtis on the Chris Curtis with Sometimes Ken program. Coming up next.
There.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.